Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It is 7:41. Jane Monzuris is here in for Andrea Darlis, as Dave Schwann is. Dave Ennett also here. Our next guest, he's a candidate in the Democratic Party primary for governor of Illinois in the 2018 election. We'd like to welcome back to the show. It's Chris Kennedy. Chris, how are you?
Great, thanks. Thank you for having me back this morning.
When this all went down in Las Vegas Sunday night, what was your first reaction on Monday morning?
I mean, I think I was just shocked that it was like watching Groundhog Day in a very violent way. And the notion that these incidences are increasing with frequency and they're getting larger in impact. I feel terrible for the families, and I know that the hurt, the pain that they feel will last the entirety of their lifetimes. In many ways, the mental challenges that they feel, the mental illness, will be passed on to another generation. And that shouldn't happen in our country.
Boy, you don't even think about that. I have to tell you, I've been to Vegas easily over 50 times. The last four times I've been there, I've stayed at Mandalay. And when I started hearing about this on Monday, it really affected me. And I've never been closely affected by guns like you have. Your father, of course, in 1968, your uncle in 1963, your running mate, Rod Joy, his 23-year-old son was shot and killed this past summer. You are right there. So you have a chance as a spokesperson to do something or lead a charge.
Well, I would hope that Congress reacts. I think there's so much that we don't know. We don't understand his motives. We don't understand why this epidemic is spreading and why it's getting worse as it spreads. The fact is that we're hidden from the science and the truth because the federal government, really the Congress, has prevented the Centers for Disease Control and the National Institutes of Health from studying the very topic. We should never be afraid of the truth. We should never be afraid of science. And we need to understand why these unique acts are occurring so frequently in the United States.
Yeah, and then that also brings up, you know, the discussion about gun control and legislation. And they're talking now that there'll be some measures passed on this bump stock, that which nobody knew about prior to Monday. Now everyone is, you know, knows what this device is.
And up in arms.
When and if this conversation gets passed, does it open up the movement for more legislation to change, like universal background checks or how many guns somebody can own? Or what type of gun somebody can own?
Well, I'd say this. I don't think we need to impinge on the Second Amendment in order to fight off these mass shootings. This is a completely unique epidemic in the United States, and it's unique to the United States and the world. Other places do not suffer as frequently as we do or as such large numbers. Or Aurora, Colorado, or Orlando, Florida, Newtown, Connecticut, now Las Vegas. And the truth is that the bump stock issue has been around for years, and trying to confront a wave of gun violence in this country by banning bump stock, it's like lightening the load of a Queen Mary by throwing a deck chair over the side. And we cannot let Congress off the hook by taking a tiny, tiny, small action and think that they've got their job done.
I know, but at least it's a start, Chris. I mean, just for the record, I support the Second Amendment, but the bump stocks and the semi-automatic weapons, there's no reason these should be sold to the general public.
No, and I would say that all the responsible gun owners that I know believe in that notion that that the bump stock and any sort of automatic weapon should be banned. And the truth is we ask police officers and other first responders to defend us every day, and we need to protect them as well. But it's not enough. The notion that we have people on the no-fly list who could go out and get a gun, the idea that people with mental illness can get a gun, the idea that people in the midst of a nasty divorce or interpersonal struggles with another individual who's deemed a threat to their spouse or loved one or family can still go out and get a gun. That's outrageous.
Yeah, and so it goes deeper than just gun laws. It goes into what you're saying, and that is really dissecting and looking into mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we capture that before any of these tragedies actually happen?
And are there ways that we could intervene? And truthfully, we need to set the tone at the top. The President of the United States needs to play a role in reassuring Americans that they're part of a larger American family, that they're not going to be left alone, that there's no reason for them to feel isolated and cut off from the rest of society. And when we isolate people, Americans in the Virgin Islands or Puerto Rico, when we celebrate the notion that white supremacists march on Charlottesville, we're sending a message to people that, well, the government doesn't care, that you're there to defend yourself, that you have no allies in government. And that's a shocking reality for many people. And I think it can push them to a place that we don't want them to land.
All right. We're talking with Chris Kennedy. I have to ask you about the campaign trail. Did you realize that it would be this grueling, running for governor? I mean, you're on the road nonstop, aren't you?
All the time. And the truth is, I enjoy being with other people. And so I guess I get a little bit of energy out of the whole thing. The reality is the state has enormous problems and challenges, and we have the situation where we're not confronting those. And that reality, that idea that we're not dealing with the fundamental issues that face us in the state, that's what's overwhelming and, I'd say, a little bit depressing. You talk about mental illness, which I think we all understand at some level that the killer in Las Vegas was suffering from mental illness. And here in Illinois, we've cut off so much of the support for people with mental illness, and you have to wonder what that's going to lead to in the future of this state.
Right. Chris, thanks for taking time out this morning. We appreciate it.
Chris, I just wanted to say thank you really quick. In 1994, I worked for you at MMPI, and this is my chance to say thanks for giving me my first job. Yeah.
Wait a second. Was he a good boss?
He was a great boss. I worked in the marketing department for Jennifer Woodford, and I marched into
Woolford,
your office.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Woolford. I marched into your office, and I was like, hi, I'm Jane. And I, you know, it was a...
I'm sure he remembers
no,
you.
No, he doesn't remember me at all, but right. The office was nice.
Well, when you ran the Mart, I remember, because I worked there, you used to just hang out in the hallways and talk to everyone. That was, you know, you worked the room.
It's good to be with your customers. And truthfully, one of the great things about being at the Mart was just to see the great outcomes for so many people. So I love the arc of your career, Jane. I'm so proud of it.
Thank you. Do you remember when the Mart was dedicated to the World Trade Center Chicago?
Oh, sure.
That's wow. Where I was there. That was me doing that job.
I do have to say, I haven't been back to the Merchandise Mart in 5 years. I just went
it's
back
beautiful.
There and had lunch. I can't believe it.
Yes.
I can't believe how much
it's
changed.
Fantastic.
It really
wow.
is. Yeah.
I mean, it really is a destination now. Chris, back on the road, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, take care. See you, bud.